Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you shift every space you enter. You shift the darkness out of our hearts with your light. Thank you, Jesus, that you speak and darkness has to flee. God, thank you that right now in this room, Lord, your presence is here and darkness has to go. It can't stay by your very power. We are so grateful, God, for who you are. And thank you that even as you are light and people who believe in you don't have to stay in the darkness, Lord, you call us light. And wherever we are, because of your presence inside us, darkness trembles. So Lord, today we rejoice, we worship. We worship you for being light, and we worship because of who you call us. You call us by your name. We're light in this dark world. So Lord, today, speak that into our spirits. Speak our identity into our spirits. We receive what you have to say from your word, God, and how you want us to live and how that is going to impact other people. So God, we bless your name. We praise your name. We give thanks to you. All for your glory, God. Help us live for your glory. In Christ's name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Yeah, we can clap it up. That's good. That's a good thing to do, to worship the Lord. If you're joining us for the first time or you're joining us online, we're starting a new series here at Crossline called Shine and Share. We're just looking at what the Bible says about how followers of Jesus are supposed to live and then how we live affecting other people, because that's how it works. Christ comes to live inside of us. He changes our identity, changes our inner nature, and then we start living different, but it doesn't stop there. It's not just for us. It's so that when we go into a space or place, we actually impact or shift the environment that we enter. Now, I don't know if you're used to thinking of yourself like that, but that's certainly how Jesus thinks of you. And the fact is, we're all throwing something out there, right? By decision or by default, the question's not, am I a person who influenced the spaces and places where I enter? That's not the question. The question is, what's the substance driving your influence? What's the character of it? What's the nature of it? And God is speaking to our church family that he wants us to come into some spaces and places where people are, and like we just sang, darkness trembles. Light displaces darkness. Just as a matter of light and physics, wherever light is, it dispels darkness. Think of a completely ink black room, and then just think, a little point of light. It starts to displace the darkness. All right, now this series, Shine and Share, let's just talk about the word shine for a second. It means that energy is being emitted, right? There's a source and it's starting to shine, and it's emitting energy wherever that light is placed. It's conspicuous. You can see it, you can sense it, and you can respond to it. Think about a dark house at night. You're getting up to get a bowl of cereal or to do whatever, and it's completely dark and you flick the switch. Shifts the room, shifts everything. And that's what God is saying to your pastoral team who pray for you all the time. Lord, what do you want us to be in this community? Who do you want our people to be? What are you saying to us? And Jesus is saying, they're light and they need to bring that light, and we're gonna shift the darkness. Darkness is gonna tremble because light is gonna invade spaces. And your pastoral team, we can't go where you go. We don't know who you know. We don't work where you work. We're not living next to the people that you live next to, but you do. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people represented right now in this worship center, on the patio, online. And guess what? God is sending us out, arrows of light, boom, 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 into those spaces and places to have influence. Now, have you ever been, it's a question, you ever been in a moment where there was such a contrast between darkness and then light came into it? You know, you saw a video of our men in Mexico. That's a darkness. It's a darkness that there are two mothers with four kids and there's no man in the picture. There's no support, there's no financial income. Both of those mothers save $50 a week to buy the parcel of land that they're living on. That's darkness to me. That's not right that those kids don't have a dad there. And you see a group of people filled with God's light just come. And it was a spectacle. But you know, before we were building houses down in Mexico, we were going to Haiti, right? 11 times a year. And when you go with the dudes, like 20 dudes getting out of the back of a tap-tap, it's kind of a sight to see because we don't look like the people of Haiti. We don't dress like the people of Haiti. We all have hats and backpacks. And you know, people, even though it's super hot, they don't wear shorts. They're all wearing jeans and they dress like meticulously. They're really cool. And we get out and we're just like ready to go and we have our little shorts on and our hats. And one particular morning, we weren't going to feed a village. We weren't going to build something. We weren't going to go spend time with the kids. We actually went over to where our shelter is. And our fearless leader, Rick Brodigam, said, "Hey, the Lord spoke to me. We're going to serve the women who volunteer as our staff here at Changer Lakai." It's about 40 of them total. You count them all up between house moms and cooks and people who work on the property there. And so getting out of the tap-tap that day was really an interesting sensation walking in as a group of 20 dudes into a room full of 20 women. Because, you know, as men, we're there, we're serving in their country, we're respecting cultural boundaries, moral boundaries. We want to make sure that we're serving, not causing a ruckus. And so we're super careful. But in this instance, these women were not total strangers to us. They had worked with us and alongside us. But today was such a contrast. We were going to wash feet, pray over our sisters, bless them in Haitian and in Creole, Haitian men from Southern California. And it's just kind of loaded, right? Because culturally in Haiti, women serve the men. And I'll tell you this, broken male culture in Haiti, it makes me shake with anger how women and children are made to suffer at the hands of the character and conduct of men. Not all men, but as a culture, sex trafficking, the orphan epidemic, not providing, leaving and abandoning families. And so there's also that cultural tension because no matter how good we are, there's a lot of hurt in the water. And that was there too, it was present. But as soon as Haitian men and Southern California men from Crossline, as soon as we were paired up and as soon as we all had our translators and as soon as the swish and the washing started, just this tension just totally broke. And women started weeping and men, for unknown reasons, their own reasons, they started weeping as they're serving these wonderful servants. And prayers are being prayed and women are being blessed. And I can hear the prayers in American language, then being translated into Creole and then translating into tears coming down the faces of the women. And it's just such a powerful moment. So much tension and then so much contrast. So visible and visibly different than what all of us are used to experiencing out in the world. And it was beautiful. It was sublime. It was light, and you're in the presence of light, pure light, just transcending all the junk and the darkness. And like the saying we sung, darkness trembled, and men and women rose together, united as brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to hear Jesus speak from the Gospel of Matthew with respect to people who follow him and the impact they're supposed to have on other people, creating these moments of life. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Jesus says this, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm gonna hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven."
Preach it.
We are light by contrast. Let's say that together. We are light by contrast. Just before, Jesus says you're salt. Okay, salt influences by contact. Right? Light influences by contrast. It's when you put light next to darkness, then you can appreciate both the darkness, but you can appreciate the light. Okay? And so contrast is a ministry of light in dark. You are a ministry and contrast of light in dark. We need that contrast, right? Maybe you've seen a shooting star. Anybody seen a shooting star before? You don't see shooting stars in the daytime. Why? Are they still shooting? Are they still going off? Could we potentially see them if we were above the skyline? Yeah, we could. But it's because there's light out. You need the contrast of the dark night sky, if you're standing on planet Earth, to see a shooting star. And so then you can appreciate it in the contrast of that. Personality differences. Maybe somebody's an extrovert. Maybe somebody's an introvert. All right? But next to each other, you can really see and appreciate the differences. Or what about, you know, customer experiences? You go into one place, not so great. You go into another place and the person's very attentive and they take care of you, right? And then you appreciate the person who took care of you because you have the contrast of the person who didn't take care of you. Light and dark. We are light by contrast. Now, Jesus says, and this is really important as we get into this series, that God's people are intentionally put into spiritual, cultural, interpersonal, and circumstantial darknesses in this life to provide the contrast. And he expects us, listen, he expects us to be visible as his followers, right? That's why when Jesus declares himself, "I am the light of the world," you can see him clearly against the darkness of earth because he comes from a place of pure light. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus comes from a place of pure light. This is the message that we've heard from him proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness, right? So light comes streaming into the world and he's a contrast. He's not walking in the darknesses of the world, the movements of the world. In the quality of the selfish flesh, he's different, he stands out. And now he puts his presence in us and he says, "Your light." His light against the darkness, your light against the darkness. That's Jesus, that's us. Let's say that together. That's Jesus, that's me. Yeah, that's Jesus, that's me. Why? Because Jesus lives in you. That's why he can call you light. Look at what he says in John chapter 12 with respect to his identity as light. He says this, and why don't we just read it together, put it up there, ready? "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." Now here's your first shine and share fact coming to you in this series, and it's this. Jesus does not make the choice for others, but he makes the choice clear. You follow me? Jesus doesn't make the choice for anybody, but he makes the choice clear because he's light. And you can appreciate who he is against the darkness of the world. Similarly with us, you can't make anybody know God or love God. In fact, there's some people here or watching online, they don't have a relationship with God yet, but they're checking it out. And no one is gonna bend their arm to say, "You have to believe, but by how we love, by how we live our lives, by how we treat people, by Jesus's presence and power inside of us," they can see and appreciate Christ. The light invites. It's invitational, right? We can't make the choice for you, but we can make the choice clear by how we lived. Our lives are purposed to be invitational. So what we're gonna do for the rest of our time, we're just gonna really simply unpack what Jesus just said in Matthew 5 when he speaks into us about our identity and our energy. And if you're taking notes, if you have the notes, write this down. The first thing that Jesus speaks into us and is speaking to us as a family going forward in 2022 is light is my identity and shapes my purpose. Light is my identity. If I follow Christ, light is my identity and my identity shapes my purpose. Everybody say this with me. Identity, energy, expression. Right, whatever commands your identity commands your energy. I can tell you your self-perception by simply looking at where you spend your energy and time and resources, what kind of person you are. All I have to do is where they spend their time, where they spend their money, where do they invest their off time, you know, where are they putting mental and physical energy, right? And I could say, yeah, this person probably, through simple deduction, is into this and that and this and that and this, right? Now the key words, and we're gonna put this on the screen, Jesus says, you're here to be light. Key word, here. Planet Earth, for this time, for this hour, for this space, right? You're here to be light in contrast to darkness, bringing out God in the environments that you go in. You go into an unjust situation, like the one we went into in Mexico, and what do we bring? Justice. What does justice mean biblically? It means you give what is due. When compassion is due, you give compassion. When protection is due, you give protection, right? When provision is due, you bring provision. That's God's justice. In an environment of harshness, light comes in. What do people get? Kindness, right? In an environment where people are being manipulated and lied to, what do we bring? Truth and honesty and authenticity, right? Instead of cutting down people, we lift up people. Instead of serving ourselves, we serve other people. See all these expressions? Identity, energy, expression. God is telling the Crossline family, this year, you're gonna go be light in the community. Now here's the cool thing about identity. You don't have to try real hard to be who you are, amen? If you are who you are, if you're light, you don't have to try hard. You just have to be light. It's just being who you are. What do people see? They'll see integrity in terms of your identity. I'm just being who I am. I'm a lover of Jesus, and in this space, I'm gonna do whatever shows love for God and people. That's what I'm gonna do, all right? So they see integrity, they see confident and courageous liberty. You stop caring about people, what people thought a long time ago, because you only care about what God thinks, and so you're free to serve other people. You're not worried about their opinion of you, you're gonna do what God says. Why? Because you live for an audience of one. You become disciplined, you become dangerous with goodness, and there's a consistency to you, identity, energy, expression. In 1 Thessalonians 5, talks about our identity in light. It says this, you're sons of light, daughters of the day. We live under wide open skies and know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life like those others. Let's keep our eyes open, be smart. People sleep at night and get drunk at night, but not us. Since we're creatures of the day, let's act like it. Walk out into the daylight sober, listen, and let's finish it together. Dressed up in faith, love, and the hope of salvation. So it's a picture of putting on clothes, of light. Go to the wardrobe, what am I gonna wear today, God? I'm gonna put on faith, hope, and love of God. And I'm gonna wear those clothes into every space and place where I go. So Jesus is telling us unequivocally, this is your identity. This is where you're supposed to put energy. And this identity and that energy, that's gonna shape your purpose and shape your expression. Now, on the identity issue, really important. However you perceive yourself, you're gonna live that out. If I perceive myself as a follower of Jesus, if I perceive myself as light that he wants to take into the spaces and places, then I'm gonna live out that self-perception. There's healthy self-perceptions and there's unhealthy self-perceptions. I can have an unhealthy self-perception that I'm not worth very much. And people who don't think that they're worth love or worth someone's time or worth being appreciated, they'll live out of that self-perception. But if you know that you're made by God and you're made for God and one day you're going to God and you are an image bearer, you'll live out of that worth. And you'll live with honor and you'll live with dignity and you'll live with purpose. So God says that we are destined to live out our identity. The only question is, whose voice are you listening to when it comes to you? The truest thing about you, we say around here all the time, is what God says is true. God says that you're light, son of light, daughter of the day, or not. The second thing Jesus wants us to know is that light is placed exactly and personally. Write that down. Light is placed exactly and personally. He says, you're here to be light, bringing out God wherever you are. And then he says, I'm putting you on a light stand. In some of your Bibles, it says a lampstand. And you gotta have a little bit of context for the first century and the audience that he's talking to, right? Like his phone, there's no phone. There's no like swipe down, hit the light symbol and walk around like this everywhere, okay? There's no light switch. There's no Southern California Edison. There's no solar power. There's nothing. When it gets dark, it gets really dark, like inky black, right? So imagine like, all right, there's no ambient light. There's no street light. There's no car lights. There's no house lights. There's no, and then in the middle of that blackness, there is an oil lamp. And the oil lamp, the wick gets pulled out a little bit and the flame goes to the wick. And then they put it on this lampstand, on this light stand, and it gets put into an optimal spot. Everybody say that with me. Optimal spot. What's an optimal spot? It's a place that maximizes where the light is placed. So it can shine into the room that it's in. It can kind of even dimly light maybe some of the other rooms, but it's in an optimal spot. It's placed exactly where it needs to be. What's Jesus's point? You are in your optimal spot. You're born when you're born. You're placed where you're placed. You're in a network of people and neighbors and baristas and people at the gym and friends and small groups and church because you have your lampstand. You are in your optimal spot. Place matters to God a lot. Canaan was not just a place to go to, it was called the Promised Land. Babylon was not just a place where God's people were held captive. Jeremiah said, you seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon. All right, prison was a place where Joseph was, and even there he shined his light. Daniel was in prison in Babylon, and he shined his light there. You know, your optimal spot may not feel like your optimal spot. Can I get an amen? Might be a relation. Anybody ever been in the hospital? Okay, it's like not an optimal spot. Like, why am I here? What am I doing here? Why do I have to go through this procedure or whatever? But is that where God has you? Is that your lampstand for the moment? Sure is. You shine there. Or what about in court? Anybody ever been in court? No one feels like that's an optimal spot. No one would choose to be there, right? How many of you guys ever been to the DMV? Wait, no, I can't use that example. Light cannot shine in the DMV. Okay, it's just not, you cannot. Yes, you can, Kenny. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Okay, if you work at the DMV, God just rebuked me right there. All right? But you get what I'm saying. Wherever you are is your lampstand. And some of you, I get it. Maybe you're stuck in a relationship and you're like, this is not my optimal spot, okay? Not with him, not with her right now. But God's calling you to shine in that relationship, however you can. Maybe you're in a circumstance right now where you're alone, you've lost a loved one, not an optimal spot. Or maybe you've ended a relationship, don't feel like it's an optimal spot. Place matters to God, even places where we don't feel like it's optimal. God's moving, right? I was just at an engagement party the other night, and I was talking with a couple, and they started a school for kids with special learning needs right here in South Orange County. And I was telling them the story about how much they've helped a certain young man who was on a path and it wasn't to college, and then their program intervened and now he's going to college, and it was junior, senior year, and he's totally turned it around. But you know, this family, they've really been through the ringer, but God is using them in this program. He's using what they do to reach people, and I can see the blessing of God flowing out. You know how we know that when we're not feeling like we're in an optimal spot, but God's still there? You know how we know that God's still at work? The cross. Not an optimal spot. Brutal. Unjust. Was God present in that brutal, unjust, non-optimal spot? Yes or no? Yes, he was. Was he saving you and me in the process? Yes, he was. I don't know what you're going through, but I know one thing. If you feel like you're not in the best lampstand place, just know, it doesn't matter how you feel, God's gonna use it. And God can redeem it, and you need to seek it. Amen? I mean, let's be honest, I'm not in an optimal spot right now in my life. My brother-in-law was hit by a motorcycle. He has a big chunk out of his brain. He's quadriplegic. This just happened to our family. It's not an optimal spot. It's a bummer watching my mother-in-law suffer. But God's moving. God's changing us. We're open in faith to the reality that God can even use this, because God used a bloody, bludgeoned Savior Son on the cross. He can use your non-optimal spot. He can redeem it. So yes, God wants to put you on your lampstand. And if you feel like me sometimes, where this isn't great, welcome to the club. Now, on the upside, if you go to a gym, if you go to a coffee shop, if you go to work, if you're a coach of a team, if you're a teacher, if you're a coworker, or maybe you're an employee, place matters to God. And he's got you there. You don't have to try hard. You don't have to go on a trip to Mexico. You've got a life that you live. Say this with me. Where I live, where I work, where I pray, where I play, where I post. Did you catch that? God wants to redeem the internet. I'm convinced. All right, I don't know. It's like the DMV. I'm not so sure. I don't know how that can happen, but we put ourselves out there, right? We emit. We put energy into that. What kind of energy are we putting in there? What's the quality of it? What's the substance, all right? God's purpose trumps place. Let's say that together. God's purpose trumps place. Okay, so might not be optimal, but his purpose is active, it's dynamic, it's at work in you, and it will work through you. In Acts chapter 17, it says this: from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. Did you catch that? Appointed times and boundaries of lands. God has you where he has you, even if it doesn't feel good to be in that space. Like I said, Joseph, prison. Daniel, Babylon. David, wilderness. Jonah, inside a large sea mammal. Not optimal. Read Jonah's prayer in there? Go read the book of Jonah and read the prayer of the man inside the whale gut. It's beautiful. My spirit's ebbing away, but I cried out to you. Non-optimal spot, right? But place matters to God. Jesus and the place of Nazareth is mentioned 21 times in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Why do you have to connect Jesus to anywhere? He's God. But the Bible does that. God's word says, no, he's from Nazareth. That's meaningful because he grew up there. It's where he was, right? Purpose trumps place. You see, so many times we're focused on where we don't want to be, where we're headed, what's missing, you know, where we see the gaps in our lives and we say, well, if only, and then if only, and if only, and if only we didn't have to pay high taxes in California, and if only we could put a down payment on the house, and if only prices weren't so high, and if only gas prices weren't so expensive, and if only, and we get so focused on where can I go, where do I need to be, that we miss the now and we miss out on where we are and we miss God's will. Because God has us where we are to be light. Whatever that looks like. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says this: and don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Let's finish it together. Live and obey and love and believe right there. By a show of hands, how many of you live in Ladera? Raise your hand. Keep them up. How many of you live in Mission Viejo? Keep them up. All hands up. If I call your city, you keep them up. Laguna Woods. Okay? All right? Rancho, Santa Margarita. Anybody? Okay, there's some Rancho people. All right, Irvine. Anybody from Irvine? Okay, Laguna Hills. Okay, Laguna Beach. Anybody? Almost all the hands are raised. Okay, you can put them down. This is like class, isn't it? Okay, you can put your hands down, class. And don't be wishing you were someplace else. or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there in Ladera, right there in Mission Viejo, right there in Rancho Santa Margarita, right there in Laguna Woods, because right there is where God wants to move, and he is taking Crossline into some new spaces and places, but he's not using me, Greg, and JP. He's using you. Amen. You're going to go and be fishers of people where he has sent you, and we're going to see revival like we've never seen at Crossline Church. I'm convinced. I'm so excited to be a part of this church family right now, aren't you? God is moving powerfully through you, through the member. And that's what we love as your lead pastors. The Holy Spirit says, I put you there. And wherever you are, that place matters eternally. All right? Number three, light is intended for people to experience and encounter. All right? So I've been saying from the get-go, it's light by contrast, strategically placed in an optimal spot. And above all, its purpose to do one thing. And we're gonna put this big, long scripture on the screen. Ready? It's one word. What's that say right there in the middle? Yeah, that's a prophetic word. Can you guys handle it? That's a prophetic word. It means God's speaking, and he's speaking right to you, right where you are, as a student, as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a neighbor, as someone who goes into establishments all around this city. And he's going, shine, shine. The command to shine by Jesus is a command to direct your energy in God for the sake of other people. What does that look like? Where's a picture of that? How do I get my arms around shine in my spot? Okay, how do I do that? Well, there's a picture of that in Philippians chapter 2. This is what it says. Be energetic in your life of salvation. Reverent, sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully, no bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world, uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Now let's finish it together. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You know, we're headed toward a moment, and we're gonna stand face to face with Jesus. And the moment, if you're a believer in his person and work, it's not about whether you belong there. That's not an issue. You're there, you're gonna be there forever. The issue is, what did you do with the life that I gave you? With the people that I gave you? With the spaces and places I called you into? What did you do with that? Very important. What I love about this passage is giving someone a glimpse is not a hard thing. We're not talking about, okay, flick on the lights, sit down, grab a chair, let's talk about Jesus. We're talking about giving people a glimpse of the living God and a good life in God. Can we give people all around South County just a glimpse, maybe, of Jesus as we interact with them? You know, I was on a podcast, it's called Culture by Design. My childhood friend, Tim Clark, ended up going to Oxford. He became a PhD. He's the top 10 Fortune 100 consultant. We used to break things together and go frogging in the creek in Northern California. And he called me, recently, and he's like, hey, I've been kind of watching what you're doing, and would you be on my podcast? I'm like, absolutely. It's global. It's worldwide. And Tim is talking about, all right, 2 years into this thing, we have to stand apart. We have to wear masks. He goes, Kenny, how do you redeem coming out of this thing? I said, well, I was in Trader Joe's the other day. That's how I start all good anecdotes. You just tell people you're in Trader Joe's. Because they connect. They connect with the chocolate-covered pretzels and the orange chicken and all the dried fruit and the nuts. They just connect with all that. So you just gotta start every good illustration with, well, I was at Trader Joe's the other day. No, I was at Trader Joe's the other day, and I said to this lady, we were in line, and I just said, man, it's so good to see people's faces. That's all I said. It unleashed. It's like the Hoover Dam got exploded. She was so ready to talk, so ready to just, because guess what, gang? This isn't a thing that we went through in an isolated way. The whole world went through this thing. So if you want to get into somebody's life and if you want to shine the light, all you got to say, it's like, wow, I can't believe I'm standing so close to you right now without a mask. And here it comes. It's coming out. Just get ready. And there's no diaper for it. It's just, it's all coming out. You know? You know? But I said, Tim, and I didn't say like diarrhea or anything like that on the podcast. But I just said, Tim, there's so much anxiety, so much pent-up depression, so much need for human connection right now that all you need to do is just poke a little hole in people's hearts and then it just comes out. What's shining? It's God's will and your will working together, and people get a glimpse of what it means to connect to another image bearer. People are image bearers. They're made in the image of God. And let's just be honest. This whole thing about the internet and social media and what, we're more connected than we've ever been. But for image bearers need another image bearer. We've made a good thing, which is communication, the ultimate thing. You know what the Bible calls that? An idol. Now, I have a phone. I post things. I'm connected. So I'm not a person who's, you know, saying no to phones, no to social media, no, that's not me. What I am saying is you can't make a good thing the ultimate thing. And that's what we've done. And then it attacks the soul when you make a good thing the ultimate thing. And when that ultimate thing is not Jesus Christ, your soul will suffer. It's not a purpose. Can't hug you. Can't give you character. Can't make you a better person. It's just a way to communicate. That's all it is. In 2 Timothy, we get another picture of what shining is. Listen, And look for this whole identity thing coming out here. No one serving as a soldier, identity, gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of his crop. So this goes right along the lines of identity, energy, expression, right? The soldier wants to please his commander. That's his hope. So then he disciplines his hope, or disciplines his energy in the direction of his strongest hope. Same with the athlete. Athlete, his hope is the victor's crown. He wants to have the gold medal. He wants to be on the top podium, right? What does he do? He competes according to the rules. He doesn't want to get disqualified, right? The hardworking farmer has the crops in view. So he disciplines himself and stands behind a large land mammal with things coming out the back, trying to balance a big stone thing that's breaking up the ground so that he can plant in time, water, tend, care, and harvest that crop. So do you see the connection between the strongest hopes of these three people and their disciplined energy? That's what shining looks like. Just tell me what your hope is and I'll track your energy. What's your strongest hope? What is your strongest hope? If I were just kind of get a free pass and do a little forensic investigation, not looking into private stuff, but like how you manage your time, where you put your energy, where you serve, don't serve, how you talk, just see where you put your act. It's like, this person's really hoping for X. How do I know that? Because this is where they're really putting in a lot of disciplined energy, okay? Strongest hopes in your life, create the strongest energy in your life, listen, and send the strongest message of your life. This is what I'm about, right? So what's your hope? Jesus says that light is intended for people to experience and encounter. And if he isn't your strongest hope, the shining thing, probably not gonna happen. But if he is your strongest hope, the shining will happen. Why? Because he's your hope and you're gonna discipline your energy in the direction of your strongest hope. Lastly, and this is a good one, even if I say so myself. Light is welcomed relief for those in darkness. You ever been in a situation where it's just like, man, I can't even see, I'm stumbling, and then all of a sudden, boom, light comes in. Wow, great, ooh, hope, right? Person trapped in a cave, sees a little prick of light, hope, right? I don't know if you guys have seen that movie about the little Thai soccer team that got trapped in the cave, but wow, insane rescue, I think it's called. But welcomed relief when those scuba divers who cave dive show up in a space 10 miles deep into a cave that's flooded, and they're huddled on a little piece of rock, right? They enter the space, and it's like, oh, hope, right? Jesus says this, you'll prompt, with your light, you'll prompt people to open up with God. So you're here to be light, okay? I'm putting you in an optimal spot on a lampstand in the life that you have right now. Place matters. So where you are is where you should be, even if it might not feel optimal. Then there, he says, emit, shine, let out what I've put in. And then he's saying, and what is gonna be the outcome? You'll prompt people to open up with God. Now, Sergio and I work together. I meet with him just about every week, and you don't. I get to meet with him. He's a great person. I love every time I get together with Sergio. And I asked him this week, I said, how was your morning? He goes, oh my gosh, I had the best morning. And I just thought, oh, he must have been like in the recording studio, or he must have like done something musical. And he's like, yeah, I went to Yogi's. I'm like, what's that? He goes, it's a Japanese rice bowl place in Tustin. He goes, I'm there like 3-4 times a week. I'm like, okay, you must really like this place. That's your hope, Japanese rice bowl. Okay, because you discipline your energy, you're there. So we're talking Japanese rice bowl, and he goes, you know, the owner just changed, and I walked in and I saw the new owner. And so I just introduced myself. I said, hey, I'm Sergio, I come here a lot. I really like your place. And so they get to talking. And she's like, how you doing? And Sergio's like, how's the business? How's it going? Just, you know, he's asking a second question, maybe a third question. Isn't it amazing what happens when you ask the first question, stay and listen, ask the second question, stay and listen, ask a third question, ooh, really stretching it there. And you stay and listen to someone respond who's in a dark world and without Christ. What do they feel? Hope. They feel care. It's like, wow, somebody's talking to me. So Sergio's hadn't said one spiritual thing. And the guy says to him, after about 15 minutes, he goes, what do you do? And Serge goes, I'm a worship pastor at this church. He goes, I want to go to that church. So pray for the Yonis of the owner of Yogi's. And if you're watching, we're waiting for you. Just saying. Yeah, you're going to get loved like you've never been loved, bro. Anyway. But do you see what happens? In a world full of darkness and anxiety and issues and struggles and depression and fragmenting relationships and fragmented and animized souls, when you just stay and it's human to human, image bearer to image bearer, and you just go, how's it going? And stay around. And then maybe listen and internalize what they say and ask an intelligent second question. Go figure. Stay around. And then they connect and then they feel this something. He goes, you know what? He said to Sergio, he goes, man, I am so stressed out over this whole thing, but I don't know, something's happening in me. And he's just talking to Sergio. Sergio didn't say one spiritual thing. He just hung around for the answer. Then he says, what do you do? And then it all breaks out. Pretty cool, right? Light is a welcomed relief for those who walk in darkness. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus assessing the world, and it says this. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Let's finish it together. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. I'll be real blunt. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit anoints your body and makes it just a big harvest hand, that you will go out into where you live, your optimal lampstand, your space, wherever it is, with your neighbors, in your comings and goings, and that you'll think harvest hands, because that condition has not changed one bit. People are confused, and people are aimless, and people without Christ are in a spiritual Egypt, in a place of bondage and oppression. They may not know it yet, but they will. It might seem like a honeymoon now, but it's gonna get dark and take over their lives under the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because the devil will lie to get you into a bondage. Can anybody bear witness to that one? Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, live an exemplary life in your neighborhood. We talked about the neighborhoods represented in this congregation, so that your actions will refute their prejudices. then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Man, that's my prayer for this series. As we send you out to go shine in the spaces and places where you are, in your neighborhoods, right? And your actions, you'll be aware of your identity. You'll be willing to invest energy in your identity, and it'll lead to some expression, some encounter, some conversation that's not hard, very normal, but you're there. And you're not leaving, and you're not thinking about yourself. But you're thinking about God, and you're thinking about his purposes. You know, I think the Holy Spirit is saying to us, Crossline Church, the world is dying without me, and I'm sending you. That's where we're headed. That's why we're doing this series. We just don't come up with these things like, hey, this sounds nice to talk about. We're like, where's our body at? What is God saying to us? And then how can we equip our church family to do what we really feel like God's calling us to do? And God's calling us to be light in spaces and shine and share. Now, there is a word of warning, church family. Jesus gives it in Luke 11 about this whole thing about being light. Because in Jesus' time, there were people who were representing God in his name, and they weren't lights at all. And Jesus had a tough word for them, right? As they spouted God talk, but they were really underneath, inside, full of greed and self-indulgence. Listen to what Jesus says to believers and try to pick up the thinking that he is addressing here. He says this, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. But when it is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. He's talking to believers, and the reason he's saying this is because there's a tendency in believers that somehow we can combine spiritual light in our lives with spiritual darknesses, and that somehow God's okay with those blending right side by side with one another. We're 90% in with the Lord, but 10%, this area over here, that's my area. That's where I'm God. That's where I call the shots. This area over here is what the Bible calls a foothold. It's a small but important piece of territory that if the devil wins it, he can take down the rest of your religious life. And Jesus is going, hey, if you're my follower, don't think that blending is okay with me. I'm not dark at all. My Father is not dark at all. It's not like we go like this when there's darkness in your life. And what does he say? He says, if you're filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant. Full power, right? So as your pastor, what do I want? A short circuit or full power? Full power, absolutely. I want you at full power. But you have to have an adversarial relationship with spiritual darkness and sin. The ones Jesus died for. The ones that put nails through his hands. That sin. Yeah. And Jesus is like, sorry, blending is not the mark of a follower of Christ. So if that's you, and I have to confess, there were times in my walk with Christ where I accommodated a spiritual darkness right alongside all this spiritual light. And I was like Samson in the Bible. You know Samson, he was a judge, famous story, powers in the hair, right? Judge of Israel, right? But he's got sin in his life. And then he says to himself, I'm gonna go out to battle and I'm gonna win again. Until he didn't, because God's spirit had left him. We, as your pastors, as your shepherds, we don't want you to operate under any deception or delusion that you can be a committed follower of Christ and also be committed to sin at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. It may work out in the world, like, oh yeah, you know, your life is like a, you know, accessories, you know, that you put on. You know, you put on this and you put on Jesus and you put on a little of that and you do this, and that's not what this says. God says, I'm holy, so you be holy. Now, I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Big amen? Yes. Everybody makes mistakes, all right? It's when you have in your mind said, this is okay when this says it's not okay? And you're like, too bad, God, I say it's okay. So I'm gonna be your person and be in the light, but at the same time, I'm gonna be committed to this thing, whatever that is. And God's like, mm-mm, you'll kill the power. If you're filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant. So Crossline, church family, let's really be aware of that. Have you ever been in an environment where the power's been killed? And you're sitting there, you're watching a show, and then all of a sudden, boo, just goes off. And you're like, whoa, that's what sin does in the life of a believer. It kills the power. Now, is there a way to restore power? Yes or no? Absolutely. Thank God. Had to restore power 867,972 times in my life. In 39 years of walking with the Lord. Lots of mistakes, all right? Intentional, non-intentional. But there's a way to restore power. So if you're here, you're in one of three categories. Category one is you need light. You need the light of God's love in your life. You don't have it right now. You haven't become a follower of Jesus and you're lacking the power, all right? And God wants to give that to you. Or you're in this category that I just described, right? Where you need to restore the power. God has just like went, okay, not good. You need to confess that. You need to acknowledge that. You need to change your thinking, change your mind, and move over to my plan versus your plan. In that area, it's called repentance. It's where we just go, aha, that's wrong. God said it. I believe it. I'm gonna respond to it. Then there's the third category, and you're here, and you're like, I wanna shine more. I wanna risk shining more. I wanna impact the maximum number of people. God, give me a more optimal spot so I can just influence a lot of folks. So what we're gonna do now that we know our identity, where God wants to put our energy that leads to an expression that is right next to all this darkness out there. He wants us to go penetrate the darkness and overcome it. Let's pray, all right? So if you have a pencil in your hand, kind of put it down, put it away. We're gonna have a time with God. And again, you're in one of three buckets. I need light. You need to give your life to Christ and receive his light and love into your life. You need to restore power. God has convicted you, just he's kind of spoke to you and he's just like, you know what? And you know what I'm talking about. And you're like, yep, I know what you're talking about. I'm ready. And then there's, I wanna shine more, all right? God wants to increase your territory, all right? So let's pray together. And let's pray for each other right now. There are those of you who are hearing about Jesus for the first time, and you are really ready to come out of darkness and into the marvelous light of his love and start following him. Jesus said, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And this is your moment. This is your moment where the darkness is gonna be in the rear view and you're stepping out of it. And if that's you, just simply say, Jesus. Jesus. Call his name. Jesus. I've been living in darkness, but today I choose to leave it and come to you because I wanna live in the light. I wanna live in you. And today, I recognize the light of your love for me. I recognize what you've done for me. Coming from a place of pure light, dying for me, and for all darknesses in my life, cleansing me, I recognize that, and I receive that for myself. Come fully into my life right now. Make me new. By the power of your love and your light. I wanna live for you now, not for the darknesses. I wanna know you. I wanna serve you and not myself. Come and set me free right now from all darknesses in my life. By your power, by your blood, and in your name, fill me, free me with the light of your great love. I receive it right now. Some of you been blending darknesses with the light of Christ. You're not proud of it. but it's happening. And God has spoken to you, and he's invited you to restore power. You might just want to say, Lord Jesus, I need to restore my connection with your spirit inside of me. My thinking's been wrong about this, and I know it. And I acknowledge that I've sinned against you by directing my own life, taking charge, and mistakenly thinking that a dark corner can coexist next to your marvelous light. It can't. I would encourage you to name that to God silently. Just tell him exactly what it is, not for his sake, but for yours. Name it. And then you can tell him, I know that your light does not blend with the dark. Holy cannot empower unholy. So I thank you that you've forgiven my sins through the blood of Christ. And Jesus, I invite you again to take your rightful place on the throne of my life as my God. In charge, fill me with the Spirit. Thank you for filling me, directing me, giving me your light once again. Help me to discern how to be holy, how to follow you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to be a radiant life. I will be free from dark corners. I want to pierce the darkness. I want my life to invite hope through Jesus and in his name. I ask these things. And then there are those of us here, God's calling you to greater things, greater risks, greater shine. And you just might want to say to Jesus this morning, I accept my lampstand, God. My spaces, my places where you've called me to shine, where I live, where I work, where I pray, where I post things, where I play. Help me be bold in my identity for you. Increase the light of your love in me so I can shine it in simple ways to more people. I want to reach more people, Lord. Help me risk shining in dark places. Not making the choice for others, but making the choice clear. Shine through my words. Shine through my actions. Shine through my prayers that I pray for other people. Shine through my acts of generosity when I'm acting like you, generous and loving. Shine through me, going the second mile for people. Shine through me, sharing my story of your love in my life, taking over my life. Yes, use my story. Through Jesus, Lord, today we want to be the brightest we can possibly be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fall on us. Fall on this church family. And right now, I thank you for the thousands of people that are connected to the people in this room that are listening to my voice, who are going to encounter light and who are going to transform, and they're going to feel you and sense you and prompt them to give their lives to Christ. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And God's people said, amen.